Into the Nexus is a production of amove.tv. Bookmark Amove TV for other great video games and esports podcasts. Into the Nexus is sponsored by listeners like you via patreon.com/ITN. Welcome back, everyone. This is Into the Nexus, the podcast all about Heroes of the Storm. I'm Garrett Weinzerl, and I'm sitting here today with my counterpart, not R2-D2, Kyle Ferguson. Welcome back, dude.
It's good to be back.
It's always good to be back. It's been a fun week for Heroes, man. I've been forcing myself to learn Tyrael.
Those two words usually don't coincide, fun and force. But I'm excited. Go on.
That's the thing. I was like, no, I'm going to train. Kyle says I need to practice more. I don't give a crap if it's quick match. I don't care. I'm going to do it. I'm going to queue up for quick match. Also, I started last week, by the way. So quick match was black and white for me, dude. I started last week with my Tyrael training. Okay. I had my Batman Begins montage of training with Tyrael last week. And then something magical happened. Tuesday hit. And all of a sudden I had healers in my quick match games,
and one that stacks very well with you, no less.
It's wacky match, dude. You're giving them too much credit.
Sure,
people learning a new hero in quick match, which we at this show here at Into the Nexus headquarters, we have started calling wacky match, and I think it's an apt name. I'd like that little meme we've come up with.
It puts you in the right mood for it.
Yeah, it really does. So yeah, it's the first time I've really forced myself to do something in Heroes and just had a blast doing it. I don't know why I've stayed away from Tyrael this long, other than the fact that he was just never really in the meta up until now. Not a super popular pick, hasn't always been the most effective tank, but his kit is really fun. And it as someone who's, I don't know, I don't think there's a close analogy to any of the other warriors, but I think something about playing Arthas just helps Tyrael click for me, but I can't put my finger on it.
That's interesting. I can't follow you there since I don't play a lot of Arthas, but Tyrael is such a weird one right now. His win rate is fantastic. He's practically in our top five at the moment, and it's not all him. It's the dive metas that are going on right now. Kerrigan still getting nerfed a little bit, but Greymane having a bit of difficulty this week. But still, we're still in that mentality. And we have so many melee heroes. There's Zhuls everywhere. And Tyrael just fills it out like we talked about last episode. And every single one of his abilities has an and statement. Every single one of them does something else. There's so much creativity to him. And I have been just marathoning games. I feel a little bad for my YouTube watchers recently, because as I've gone on grind mode for Masters, it's been nothing but tanks. And my stream Saturday was a good 8 hours or so of nothing but Tyrael.
Wow. So how's that climb going for you?
It's going good. We're actually right on track. So I did the math for it and said it was going to take us about, 24 games with this win rate. Our win rate has sort of settled down and looks like it's going to take us about 36 games, which is a lot, but we busted out a good 12 of them so far, and then some, and we're right on target. So 2 weeks to go, looking like we might be able to pull it off.
Nice, man. Well, congratulations.
It's interesting the difference between weekends and weekdays. Weekdays, you have your very meta aware players, particularly at We Play. I could imagine that people are just showing up at home, maybe ignoring dinner for a little bit because they just want to play that game. And so we get very enthusiastic, almost kind people. And on the weekends, it's just a complete madhouse. Granted, we were playing while there was a Heroes esports event going on, so you can read into that a little bit. Maybe those watching it are more interested in the meta, and those who are choosing to play during that maybe aren't aware of esports. And
That is exactly what I would assume it would be like.
It was just like that. We were cooking things that no one was dishing out. And we were doing things we found pretty standard, very telegraphed moves that people just simply wouldn't pick up on.
Well, it sounds like overall it's been a pretty positive experience for you. Because I know you've been duo-queuing with our good friend Gorath from over at the Core podcast.
Yes, and we've been, you know, pushing him out of his comfort zone a little bit, like straight on to Thrall, because Thrall's amazing. You know, I feel a little guilty because I'm not doing the Thrall. We're kind of pushing that on him, but we put that with the Tyrael, and things just go fantastic. Diablo works better as a cat herder. He's this big, statuesque figure that everyone gathers around, and I can really take care of my guys. Sonya dives in my back line. Nope, pick him up, push him away. Push that guy into a wall. Create a nice zone where he does the specialist thing. He gets a Sylvanas, goes off and pushes other lanes. Why herd the cats? But if we try to do Tyrael without him, things get a little silly. So we've found our groove, and I look forward to grinding it out more this weekend. But I do feel blessed. I mean, really, grinding through Diamond League right now, I feel like I'm getting a little bit of the cream of the crop. Sure, we have some bogus games where some Vala just dies four times in the early game, and you're just going, what is going on here? What are you doing to this league? But then I watch some of my students' replays in Bronze, and it is just disheartening. It is haunting. It is staggering what they have to deal with down there. Well, you know, we're up here like shaking hands, thanking each other. Oh, nice job, nice job. You know, there's usually one dude pretty angry. But for the most part, all my games have been extremely positive.
Okay, and then you're not talking about a lack of ability. You're talking about a lack of human decency.
In the face of low ability, that's the worst part, is, you know, some of these guys, they watch, you know, the replays, they watch these shows, they're aware of, you know, a good time to take a boss, and it's not at the start of a curse. So they try to direct their team in that way, and they just get vulgar statements sent their way, and I feel for them. And it's one thing to say carry, you know, it's one thing to say, you know, avoid low damage things. Make sure that you're not taking Johanna Morales into a Bronze scenario. I think that's pretty safe to say, because really, you are just a bot. Johanna's hitting with wet noodles. You need to play something that does damage if you want to carry as a tank. You need to play Lili if you want to carry as a support, maybe. And go maybe even a damage build, as frightening and as cursed out you will get for going that Water Dragon ultimate. And I'm scared for them, and that's sad.
Well, I'm... of a selfish response. I'm happy to hear that, because, dude, I've been sitting here watching you and Gorath tweet like, I don't know, it's the equivalent of like watching your ex-girlfriend in high school like run off with your best friend.
Oh, no.
Because I'm sitting in Gold League with, I have muted and reported so many damn people just this past week. That I don't get it. I don't understand how there are this many D-bags in this game, Kyle. I don't understand. What is wrong with people?
It's fascinating. None of them belong there, you know, air quotes. But, and they're all equally angry about it. Some are quiet. Some are trying to be nice. Some are having fun. But it's a frustrating environment for sure. And I know it goes up to Gold League. Each sort of, one of these sort of weird artifacts of our current system is, it makes sure that it places you with people of the same rank and the same MMR. So it has to do this weird balancing act. So if you have a really high MMR, but your rank experience has been a little lackluster, maybe you got stuck at some sort of demotion, promotion wall. I mean, there was even a moment this weekend where Gorath, together, we lost two and then won two. He got demoted and wasn't able to get it back. It's kind of insane. And it's easy for people to get stuck in those machinations of the system. And so the skill set between the ranks is just bizarre down there. So, you know, we've been talking so strong for so long, Garrett, saying things like, you know, carry your team, be positive. If your team has a bad idea, go with it. And now I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, I don't even know, man.
Yeah, some of the stuff that leaves people's keyboards. Since we don't have a voice chat, it can be just disheartening. And I don't know what there's something in the air. I don't know. Maybe we're working with very limited information, so it's hard to draw a complete picture of exactly what is happening. Maybe, you know, the people at the higher skill levels in the leagues that you are in currently, Kyle, they are just they have their head on a little straighter, so they're being a little more polite. But yeah, this is something. There's something going on right now in Hero League.
And to break it down, it's frustration. And when you have a lack of knowledge, it's extremely frustrating. One thing that's been extremely beneficial to my climb was noticing which team wins the middle fight just from the get-go. Yes, we have Lunara. That's cool. Yes, we have Sylvanas. Awesome. Mm-hmm. But they have Jaina and KT. Who wins when those two line up at horse style and charge each other and slam in the middle? Well, the KT and the Jaina early on.
Yep.
We're going to need some talents together. We're going to need some positioning. Let's not. And then I instruct that team, let's not run into the middle. Let's play safe. They win the middle fight. And people respond to that. But in the lower leagues, I think everyone just, you know, heroically runs in there and you're on Greymane and you're just Jon Snowing as everything's just run around and you have no idea what's going on.
Jon Snowing. Fantastic. I mean, all that being said, like, I don't want to give everyone the wrong impression. This is the past week is some of the most fun I've had in a while in Heroes. Cause I have been playing with friends, even when there is a loudmouth jerk. If you are playing with a friend, it's easy to mitigate that or mitigate the effect that can have on your state of mind. Cause last week I put out a call like, listen, anyone want to play with me? Let me know. Cause all of my Heroes friends are either too low, too high, or no longer play. So it's been hard for me to duo queue into Hero League with a friend. You stole my duo queue friend, Gorath.
Yeah.
And by stole, I mean, Gorath played a lot more than I did at the beginning of the season and got his butt up to Diamond. So anyways, so that's what's going on, but I'm having an absolute blast, dude. I got on, I got to play a game with you and your audience, which is mostly our audience. A lot of similar names in there. Last night we played a quick match. It was a lot of fun. That is the most fun I have had losing in a very long time.
Oh, it was fantastic.
It was a blast, dude. I've never had that much fun just like getting, you know, it wasn't like we got our butt kicked, but it was.
No, we held strong. You were on Tyrael. I was on Tychus. Been having a lot of fun putting Tychus, you know, back to work, maybe picking him up as my new assassin. 16% win rate right now for me on Greymane over this season. It was time to bail and find something else. So I'm currently in the works. It is tanking all the time for me right now.
Sebenisu in the, sorry, I thought you were finished. Sebenisu in the chat room wants to know what you do if your friend is the loudmouth jerk. And I would say it's your prerogative to choose that person as a friend.
Yes, and hopefully they're a good enough friend that you can actually have a sit-down talk with them, which we've done before.
Oh, absolutely.
And we had to manage the fun, and I was currently not having fun in our current engagement. I sat down with you, but I'm that kind of person, right? I don't. That's my trial mode. I'm not going to get mad at you until we sit down and have a talk, and then if you reject that, then, you know, the friendship's starting to break. But for the most part, I've very rarely found a friend who's a good friend who isn't willing to sit down and hear your feelings and say, you know what? That's true. That's an unfun environment. Let's change this.
Oh, absolutely. Not to mention, since then, we have both had our days where we've gotten in and it's just like, let's just revel in how angry we are at this game. And it's kind of fun when we're both on board. But when someone is just like, no, let's just keep it positive and try and do our best. And the other person is like, ah, oh, this is the worst. I can't believe the crap that's happening. Can you look at these three other morons? Look at the plethora of moronitude before us. That was terrible, but
it was improv for PG, right? So good job.
Yes. there you go. But that's, yeah, exactly. So I've just been having a blast with the game as of late. So now that our weekly update is done, shall we get into the news?
Let's do that.
We're on, boys. Let's liven up this place.
Can Stitches play now?
Yeah, I love it when cigar fell in the wait.
That was Kyle's Tychus last night when we were losing the game.
What? That's not true at all. I was an upstanding infested gentleman.
I didn't say you're doing bad. I just, when we were losing, that's what I imagined your Tychus was screaming.
Oh, well, right. If I was role playing as
I was
role playing
it, man. Yeah. Come on. I wasn't. No. That's not what I meant at all. Jeez. I would say that about Jeff Cannata, but not you.
Oh, my. The news, man. The news.
Exactly. Obviously, the big thing this week is Ariel is out. One of your favorite things to do when a new hero comes out, Kyle, is to go over to Hotslog, see what the stats look like. And her stats don't look bad, as a matter of fact. Overall win rate over on, again, this is on Hotslogs. Yes, it's not perfect. Yes, it is the best thing we have to work with. 56% win rate in Hero League, but you wanted to put a big fat asterisk 46. Stamp underneath that.
46% in Hero League.
What did I say?
56.
My bad, 46.
And she is, you know, palling around down at the bottom right now with Abathur, Medivh, Cho'Gall, Kael'thas, weirdly enough.
Well, they've been nerfing him nonstop for a month.
And it's going to take people a bit of time to figure out it's time to go flame strike, guys. It's incredible. Mm-hmm. At any rate, unranked draft, diamond above, she's at 58%. I think she's going to be good to go.
I see that little crown appear over me, and at the moment I'm Tyrael, so it's just like, ooh, I'm super angelic, and I feel great. Just like, yeah, let's do it. Although I shouldn't. I'm not putting out a ton of damage as Tyrael, but chances are that crown was somewhere more important beforehand, and they're slapping it on me until the cooldowns come back up on the damage.
Right. Are you saying you should tilt yourself because you understand the character and she's putting the crown on the wrong target? No, you should probably ignore that and continue having fun. But after level 7... she can get an ability, Empathetic Link, that causes the damage you take by 25% to go to her power.
Absolutely. So
then it's okay to put it on the tank. Even then, she needs a powerhouse. I still believe 100% she needs a burst. I'm seeing people all over the forums, Reddit, shaking hands and agreeing with each other that this is a Illidan kind of hero. It's not. Burst, man. Have Lunara, raw damage. And you can really do some awesome stuff with her. No mana bar. Fun times.
Yeah, it's going... the amount of understanding that is already out there, I think, with this hero, the consensus among the community, I don't feel has happened this quickly for any other hero.
And she's a support, so it's not like, I guess she would break the game. Everyone who's picking her is willing to support already. It's a happy environment. Perhaps that's it. Our supports are just a little bit happier people sometimes.
That very well might be. I mean, I think there's just something about an assassin that is just appealing to all players, and including the newer players in the casual market. Because you know, you go and I played a lot of Quick Match this past week, and I saw so many Gul'dans. Which I wouldn't expect to see in Hero League, and I haven't even been seeing an unranked draft. So this is, I think that there's just something there. It's like, oh, it's a new hero. It can kill things. I don't care. I'm going to play it. But I feel there's just something about Ariel where there's this wider spread understanding of how she works and where she fits. And I feel like a lot of people are just not taking her into games in drafts where she shouldn't be. And if it is in Quick Match, it's someone who plays supports a lot and they kind of know how to make her work, even in weird situations.
And our lower win rate in the lower leagues definitely speaks to an understanding of drafting. Mm-hmm. So as that gets figured out, it's very easy to do. I think she'll be in a great place and she will definitely exceed Uther and some of those more hard supports.
Yep. Now, we also got some bonus nerfs, Kyle. We talked last week about all of the balance changes that were going to be coming in with this patch, but we got two heroes changed up that we didn't know about from the patch notes on the PTR. And the first is Kerrigan, who had the damage per pulse on Maelstrom, her ultimate, decreased from 41 to 37.
And the level 4 psionic pulse, which everyone was taking, was also decreased only by 2 points.
Yep.
But this is quite the stance to make. This is fast. Am I the only one blown away by that?
How quickly they've decided to start nerfing Kerrigan?
Yeah, usually we hang out in our metas for a little bit.
I don't know. I guess I'm not that surprised because of how they've been. I don't know. Have we gone a week without a balance change at this point?
There have been a couple here and there, okay, but you're right. They have been on top.
They've been fast and furious. They've really been on top of it. But it makes sense to me. I get it. We're seeing Kerrigan everywhere. She and Zagara have become the first bans or definitely the first picks. It doesn't matter. I'm no longer seeing Zagara's picked because based on the battleground, which is how she used to be selected. These two, Kerrigan and Zagara being the two kind of bonus stealth nerfs that came in with this patch, did not surprise me.
Fair enough.
So that being said, let's talk about my favorite hero, Zagara.
Okay.
Nidus Network got dinged. The cooldown reduction from basic attacks was reduced from 1 second to 0.75 seconds. Okay, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Level 1 Infest which is what everyone, myself included, well, most cigars, I'm not going to blanket statement. People get mad when I blanket statement, but most cigars, myself included, take most of the time. The ranged minion damage bonus was reduced from 150% to 100%. Kyle, that's a pretty big nerf there for Infest.
And I like all those level one choices. I think this does maybe bring it in line with some of our other picks. But the bile drop one really surprises me at 7, decreasing that bonus damage from 10 to 5%. When that thing's kind of hard to aim, I know it's also rather stealthy. The little circle isn't very obvious. Mm-mm. It's not quite as decorated as a blizzard or something like that.
It's pretty easy to lead and land.
Yeah.
It's bigger than you think. It comes down pretty relatively quickly. This might just be the Taronda player in me, but it's not that hard to hit people with.
Barrett, actually coming as a Taronda player, you would be like, that circle's big enough for me.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly where my brain's at with that. And then Mutalisk had its movement speed decreased by roughly 11%. And none of this surprised me either. The developer comments said that as the data continues to pile up, it is pretty apparent that Zagara has some overperforming talents for a hero with few natural counters. Her win rate is sitting a bit too high, so we're making some changes in order to address that. They also pointed out that Nidus Network and Devouring Maw are now within a 3% pick rate of each other, 51.5% to 48.5%. And they're ecstatic about that. And this is renewing their passion. They say, quote, renews our passion to keep working on lesser picked heroics.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's the good. And honestly, I think Zagara is still fine.
Oh, yeah, she's extremely powerful. Absolutely worthy of a first ban right now.
And we can't see their internal statistics, but we can go over at Hot's Logs and at least see something. And we went over there last week. You know, Zagara was top of the pile.
Yeah.
By a pretty sizable margin.
Not much size left in that margin, but she's still on top today.
Yeah. She needed to be reined in a bit. And this is me talking. I love my Zagara. But
catapults, man. It's been cool watching how it's affected the game.
Yeah. Also, now I know how you feel, Kyle. I'm like, oh, man, no, make her a little worse so I can actually play her again. Everyone, get off my Zagara lawn. Why is everyone playing Zagara now?
It's tough for those special, and specialist players are a dedicated bunch. And if you sort of enjoy that style, you got Zul, you got Sylvanas, you got Zagara. Well, guess what? It's kind of coming down right now, at least in Diamond 2. Who can grab Sylvanas? Because the other two are gone.
Yeah. And for those asking in the chat room, no, Blizzard did not give their internal win rate for Zagara. All they said was she's sitting a bit too high. Quote. That's all we got from them. So. The Fall Championship wrapped up this past weekend. We had...
That's good.
Yeah. So run if you don't want to hear esports results. I know some people like to catch it on the VOD. Are you gone? Is it safe? Okay, cool. Kyle, Murloc Geniuses won 3-2 over Gale Force Esports in what was clearly, as you can tell by the score, a close finals.
It was a fantastic finals, honestly. All these games were really interesting just because of the wide variety of heroes we saw. Now, there were still 20 heroes that went completely untouched, which is a bit sad. But that's still a pretty good amount of heroes when you're only getting rid of 14 in each game. Skeleton King was probably one of my most surprising sights. Of course, everyone's talking about Tracer right now because of her performance in that event.
Yeah, so how did it shake out? I mean, we see, you know, some of the popular first picks, Zagara, no surprise there, but Falstad. Have you been seeing Falstad now in your own Hero League games as a result? Because I'm still not seeing it.
Oh, he's always been in every game. He makes up for the mage role, so it already happened in our previous mage meta when we were just banning out Li Ming KT every time, then Falstad got through, and right now we're getting rid of Kerrigan and one specialist, so Falstad gets through. He's a great first pick.
Huh. Yeah, because I feel like I'm not seeing him at all, but I feel like I'm seeing him at about the same rate I always did before.
Which is kind of surprising, because he's currently quoted as probably your best carry to get yourself out of whatever league you may be stuck in.
Huh.
And it's for a number of reasons. It's by using the Mighty Gust in a completely personal way, you can make sure that you take the maximum amount of risks without the chance of dying. So Mighty Gust, most likely, if you're in a lower league, is going to ruin mosh pits, ruin some sort of gank. If you actually perform a sweet flyover and then push people in the fort, chances are it'll go horribly wrong and your team will die. Everyone just walks out.
I do like the idea, though, of taking it at lower leagues if you're pretty damn sure you have good knowledge of when to engage and when not to engage in a fight, so that when the other four chuckleheads on your team engage, you can be like, no, bad engage, gust away.
Exactly. That's what makes it so powerful. You can go try something out. You can go to that bottom lane, try 1v1ing someone down there, realize you messed up. I'm never afraid. I'm never sad to see a Mighty Gust used just to save my false dad's life.
Yeah.
In a Hero League scenario.
It's a very selfish way to play, but not ineffective.
No, and he's a flying mage assassin right now with Gathering Storm and all. It's kind of insane. All the power Falstad has. I mean, think about Dehaka too. How much maybe solo tank viability he loses gaining all those little extra movement tidbits.
Yep. So what else did you want to bring up? You've got stats sitting in here. What shone the brightest for you?
Honestly, I think we're all curious about how to build Zagara right now. And there was some thorough picking of Zagara.
Mm-hmm.
And we really saw pro players gravitate towards certain talents. In fact, very surprising for me, because this is pre-R patch happening this past weekend, Corpse Feeder was the biggest and most popular and most wittiness, if you will, of all the level one talents picked.
Yep. And that's why I backtracked early when I was like, Infest, what all, I mean, most Zagara players take. Yeah.
Well, let's be honest here. Infest is really cool.
It is. And it's kind of, you take it. And if you stand by your creep wave, you're doing something good.
But it's actually Corpse Feeders that makes your roaches take 40% less damage from non-heroic sources. They keep pushing. They help you take a camp or something like that. And the value seems there, though it's just less flashy.
Yes, absolutely.
Nobody picked poison at level 4 the entire event. And Venom Spines went unpicked. Medusa Blade's actually the most popular pick, which I'm still like struggling, because it used to be such a sign that you were doing everything wrong on Zagara.
At least as of last week, Medusa Blades was the top pick on Hotslogs as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I've been taking. We talked about this before the patch that came in that changed Zagara so much. We talked about, it looks like the lane game, the push game, is about to become very important in this game, and it has, and Medusa Blades is one of those talents that just makes you a better lane pusher. Same thing with Corpse Feeders. It also helps you jungle better as Zagara.
Level 13 Spell Shield was one of the most picked up talents. That makes sense. Li Ming had a ridiculous amount of play in this game, was in 65% of games. Well, had a 65% win rate, was picked 23 times over the tournament, and very few usages of the other level 13s. They're all pretty situational. Even the one that heals you, your Hunter Killer, didn't get a lot of picks compared to Spell Shield.
Well, you brought up all the Li Ming play, and that makes sense. That is a situational pick, and that's the type of thing you would expect and we would hope to see in professional play. I don't expect to see it as much in my own games, sadly.
There was zero variety at level 16. Every single pro player picked Mutalisk.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't surprise me in the least.
I guess that's why I got nerfed.
Yes.
Slightly.
Yes, it did. Everything that got nerfed is pretty much in line with the top picks on over on Hotslogs, and also what I personally have been playing on Zagara. When I get to play her, holy crap, I've not been... I think I've been able to log one game with her in the last week in Hero League.
I believe it.
Yeah, you got to get first pick. It's a new Kael'thas. It's like, well, I got to get first pick. Got to hope they don't ban her.
Tyrael was picked a ridiculous amount of times over the course of this event. And he had a 52% win rate, 21 times picked. Uther was the most picked support with a 44% win rate. Kind of rough there. And then Greymane, one of the top picked assassins, 23 games, 26% win rate. Making me feel a little better about my 16% for sure.
Ooh, geez, man. Ouch. I didn't know it was that rough on you.
Really weird, huh?
Yeah. Very. That might explain it, because I'm we always talk after tournaments about how it affects our own personal meta, and I know I brought that up a little bit with Falstad, but I feel like I haven't seen the effect of this tournament in terms of Falstad, but I feel like I have for Tyrael and Greymane. I'm not seeing Greymane picked anymore, and I'm seeing Tyrael actually receive the second ban in some games if he hasn't been picked up already. Usually it would go to a Johanna or an ETC if we're going to be banning out a tank, but a lot of people are banning out Tyrael at this point.
He's extremely powerful, and there's your damage is low at the end. Your siege damage is low. It's a weird combination, but if you have a diver, Tyrael absolutely makes it work. And if you're up against way too much burst, you turn it off with the sanctification, and you can win the fight that previously would have absolutely been lost. And things like, you know, a mosh pit to lock down the enemy team are just too dangerous in pro play.
Yep. So, well, any closing thoughts on the state of that that tournament?
It's awesome to see variety in our winners. Murloc Geniuses going up against Gale Force Esports. That's huge for the scene to make sure that we have these teams that continue to outmaneuver one another. If we just had Kings on top, this would be a pretty boring and actually rather unfostering scene. Things like this, while Murloc Geniuses have been in the game for a very long time, Gale Force as well, do encourage new teams to form together and go into these tournaments. So I'm really excited about these results.
Yeah. That being said, I'm not surprised, but I mean, you look at the top three, it's Murloc Geniuses, Gale Force Esports, Team Niventic. I don't think that those three teams you rattle off, yeah, that was the top three at the tournament this weekend, is going to surprise any fans of Heroes of the Storm.
Not at all.
So you also you need consistency to some point. Like if Niventic was winning every single game or every single tournament, or same thing for Gale Force or Murloc Geniuses. The fact is the first place spot keeps going to different teams for the most part across multiple tournaments.
And as a minor note to that, it's a little sad that we once again go into the quote unquote roster apocalypse. Now, it's not that bad, but lots of players changing teams after a tournament like this.
Yeah. This whole year, I'm no longer surprised at this point. So no. this is the state of this esport. Just expect it. So let's move on. The Blues have been a little chatty on Reddit this week with some more lighthearted suggestions from the community. First up, Blizzard is looking to implement a different death sound for the Lost Vikings, Kyle, similar to the one used for Leoric and Murky.
Good.
So more in line to so that, you know, it's meant so it doesn't bring down the morale of your team. And also so that, you know, everyone on your team knows the kind of hero that died. And this came from Redditor J Bows. He put forth an opinion that if the Lost Vikings death sound was altered to not be so loud, that it might help team morale when a Viking or two dies. And Centauric got in and said that they have a fix for this incoming and brought up, you know, hey, we just did this for the Yorick. It'll be coming for Vikings very soon. Happy to hear that.
Me too.
Not that I'm seeing a lot of Vikings in my game either, but it's a consistency thing, and I love consistency in my game design.
Well, and that ding being as powerful as it was, I think even the Leorics might be a little too on point right now, but Murky is in a good spot. It's just that little blah, squish.
Yeah. and then also... splash screen Easter eggs, Kyle. It's been brought up. It's been brought to Blizzard's attention. Redditor Kamikaze28 pointed out that the splash screen Easter eggs seem to be in decline, mentioning that Chromie had the in-game clock, Medivh had the summoning of Chromie, and Gul'dan sneezed occasionally without you doing anything. And now there's also nothing happening for Auriel's splash screen. This is when you first log into the game and said, hey, why is this happening? And Claudio from Blizzard got in and said, we love these, but similar to our hero trailers, we won't be doing Easter eggs for every single hero release. They involve a ton of team resources. And as cool as they are, we are finding we just can't get to all of them at the quality level we want. So... there's that. It was also asked by another Redditor, and Davin, if there was any chance that they would make it so that we could choose which screen we see when we log in. And they said, yeah, this would be really cool, but other stuff to do first.
Understandable.
Yeah.
And these were nice. I mean, I was very impressed by the Duck Hunt one and how much work that must have taken.
Yeah, that was awesome. But also, I'd be fine if that time went elsewhere.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. So anyway, that'll wrap it up for news this week. And we're doing something a little different. We're going to be mixing. We're going to be smooshing together our strategy section with our email section and take some of the emails from you all that will lead to more strategic discussions starting right now.
Choose a talent.
Choose a talent.
Talent? Ah, that seems generous.
Don't reveal our plans to our foes.
I mean it. Not a word.
You can send your emails to itncast@gmail.com. And our first email that will, I'm sure, spark some discussion, Kyle, comes to us from listener Nicole. And Nicole writes, "Hey guys, thanks for the show. Do you think it is more valuable to target the best person on your team and support them, or to babysit the one that you observe to be the worst? Of course, I spread the love to all my teammates, but I mean, is it better to be a babysitter and at least go into fights and objectives 5v5, or should you not waste your mana and heals on that player that is out of position and dying all of the time? Will diverting that time and mana to heavily support that amazing player be enough to carry us through? Also, at the end of your live episode, Garrett mentioned Kyle's wife podcast. Share it with us. What's her podcast called and what is it all about?" Well, to answer that one really quickly, it's Heroes Forge. It's on amove.tv, but you can go straight to the source and go to heroesforge.club to listen to Kristen, Kyle's awesome wife, create new heroes from thin air, to sit there and theorycraft new heroes for Heroes of the Storm. It's a very cool show.
I was on there talking about my love of Mal'Ganis recently. They're going to be doing Harrison Jones this week.
Ooh, I do like me some Harrison Jones. It does not surprise me in the least that you talked about a Dreadlord.
No. And it wasn't Jaina, by the way.
What do you mean it wasn't Jaina?
It's cool. You haven't heard that? You've heard that theory, right?
Maybe. I don't.
That Jaina's possessed and that
Yeah. No. Never. Okay, cool.
But the rogue hair was actually like a demon getting inside. I don't know. Anyway, let's get to the main question here.
All right, let's do it. So, yeah.
This is a popular one.
More or less, she's asking who to support when, but she gets rather specific, like, because this is something I see in your stream all the time, Kyle. It's like you call it. It's like, okay, that guy, he's going to do his thing. I'm just going to operate under the assumption that he's not going to do what I need him to do. Should you make
the early game showed me that this player would not be executing to the level that I require for my healing, for my value, right? What we're really talking about on healing is mana and cooldown. And that is how you find your value.
Yes.
There are two elements to this. One is that this person is out of position. They've made a mistake. You're past level 10, let's say. Heal them, right? That could be the mistake of the enemy team. If everyone plows everything into Artanis and then you land a sweet ancestral and he keeps going, everyone was able to adjust their positioning. That's a good scenario. And we win and the enemy team goes, we messed up. We wasted all our DPS on Artanis. Now we have no cooldowns and you guys take the fight. I think what more is being talked about here by Nicole is the guy who's been dying all game long. Mm-hmm. We get into that post 10 moment and they're continuing to die. That's tough. If you're Morales, I would say go ahead and use your resistance on them. Absolutely. Any time you can give that makes that hero last longer means the rest of your team has time to actually get something done. Now, remember, I'm a little shaken today, so I'm saying the rest of your team can get something done. These are all bronze players running around like cats, so it's a bit frightening. But this is something we all need to embrace as DPS, as those carries in those lower league. Yes, your Johanna may be awful. Every single fight, she gets targeted down. Johanna shouldn't die like that. But Johanna's health is now your time. The ticking clock that you have to get something done instead. So until Johanna dies, realize for yourself that nobody's going to target you because they're so gung-ho about killing this Johanna for the umpteenth time.
Yeah, you bring up some good points. The other thing to mention too, like, and you kind of, I feel like, got close to it, but I want to shine it and spell it out, is if you're in a team fight scenario and it's that this one hero that's always dying, see if you can notice if they're being targeted, because if you are safeguarding them, if you are making them live longer, you are kind of doing the whole team a service, even if that player isn't going to necessarily do a whole lot with what you are giving them. You are prolonging the hero that is being targeted by all of the abilities to the opposing team, and that is a good thing.
And these are special scenario abilities, right?
Mm-hmm.
Safeguard, Divine Palm, These are things that can absolutely turn around a team fight and you take advantage of someone's bad play, perhaps. Divine Shield, Holy Light, two Uther spells, are things I would never want to cast on my underperforming player.
Yeah, absolutely. And you brought up the other thing. There's just so many variables that could come into this. Mostly, for me, it just comes down to, are the other three people on my team okay? Are they not going to die immediately? Fine, I'll heal this person, even if I don't feel that they're being the greatest asset to the team. Because just having another body is worth it. It's the whole reason that there are rules in place for quick match, so you don't end up with two body light of a team. Or if you do end up with a body light team, it matches you against another body light team. Because there's a bonus to having another person with a health bar there soaking up abilities. But like I said, lots of variables. So if you have the Mana Despair, if you're not Uther, where you have one big heal on a long cooldown, go for it. You might be Lili. You don't have a choice. Or in the scenario I find myself in all of the time, Kyle, which I've mentioned, I think, on the last two episodes, that damn Nazebo is in the top lane up against the keep wall by himself. I'm not going to chase him down and heal him for that. But if you're in the team fight, chances are I'm going to do my best to keep you alive within the best of my ability. Another one of the variables I can think of is someone like Johanna. Are we past 20? All right, I can probably use my healing alt, not on Johanna because she has Indestructible.
Same goes for my Diablo. That's something I'll often say. I have gotten into the habit of being very vocal about the number of souls I have available and letting the healer know not to heal me, because if I die, I'm just going to come right back up. And on my way out, I'm going to do this sweet double stun that everyone will be able to take advantage of. If Ancestral Healing hits me, that is really bad.
Yeah, it is. But any other specific variables you want to point out, or do you think we can move on to Scott's email?
Yeah, let's go just a step deeper for this, because okay, a lot of these things are going to come up in the draft. And something you can do if you're looking to carry through support is make sure that you're doing the exact same thing as tanks. High damage, telegraphed abilities. And it's an old-timey word, but what I'm really saying is abilities that are big, loud, and everyone understands exactly what you're doing when you're doing it. So, Lili's Cups. I want my team to take this fort right now. Let's make it even higher stakes. The keep. I want them to take a keep right now, but everyone's a little nervous about it. Turning on my jugs is going to cause this big visual effects, and everyone's going to go, oh, Lili, yeah, we're invincible. Let's do it. And they might take the keep when otherwise they would have waffled. Tranquility, not quite as powerful in that regard. Not everyone knows when a Divine Shield is going to come out. So really find those heroes, unless you're amazing on Monk, that really telegraph what they're about to do so you can actually lead your team to victory through it. Not everyone sees a Holy Light hit.
That is one of the main reasons I like Lili so much right now, is just because of how loud she is, like you just said. Also, why I like Blink Heal on Brightwing. If a couple heroes are down on the enemy team, I'll just fill up my teammates. I'll just use up all my charges of Blink Heal to top them off and be like, cool, let's just keep going. We're fine. Two are down. You're full health. Let's do this.
And set yourself up in the early game. The second you jump in that game, say, my healing range is short. Hug me. And every time you need people to hug me, say, hug me. Just type it. Hug me. Hug me. I do the same thing on Muck. Hugs, hugs.
I don't imagine everyone knows what you mean when you just type hugs.
Well, that's why I defined in the early game.
Okay.
Hug me.
I'm sorry.
My area is small. And then as I start yelling hugs in the middle of the game, we can assume they read the earlier statement.
I breezed past that chapter. I apologize. All right. I like that. I like that a lot. So, but a lot of it comes down to your judgment, Nicole, at the end of the day. So, games you lose, go back and watch that replay. See how it went. See if you could, if you would make a different call based on watching your replay, frame by frame during a team fight. Had you put X heal here, would it have changed how the fight went?
It's a shame we don't actually have that tool from StarCraft. It was added so late into the game, only a couple of years ago now, but you were able to restart replays and play them from the moment that they existed. Now, you'd have to have all 10 people ready, so it wouldn't work out.
Right.
But it was a very cool feature.
Forgot about that. Yeah, you're right. Didn't they have that in Heart of the Swarm? Or they HOTS, did. The whole reason I never say HOTS when I'm talking about Heroes. Yeah, that was a really cool... That was a really cool feature. Man, I completely forgot about that. But yeah, it wouldn't be that helpful here.
No.
No, not really. So, anyways, thanks for the email, Nicole. Let's move on to Scott, who wants to talk about how to deal with bad drafts. Email's a little lengthy. I'm just going to focus on the meat here. If you want to see the whole email, go to emove.tv/ITN once the show post is up for 121. He said, I just had a draft where the person was showing a first overall pick, Chromie. Multiple teammates asked him to change. He refused and then picked her. I explained that I'm fine with the hero, just not first pick where she can get countered. Sure enough, the other team picked Zeratul in their next round of picks. I've never done this before, but I ended up purposefully disconnecting during the draft to save the other four of us the potential loss.
There's been an uptick in this. Mainly I'm seeing it on Tomb of the Spider Queen. Someone messes up, the banner's not quite in the know. My team got Zul and Sylvanas. And someone just bails.
Yeah.
Two times out of three right now.
Two times out of three?
On Tomb of the Spider
Queen. Two out of your three drafts on Tomb of the Spider Queen ends with you having a Zul and a Sylvanas drafted?
And someone bailing because we didn't know to... Someone in the banning position or the first pick scenario didn't understand that you can't let them have two. Mm. And so someone just straight up gives up. They bail. And it hurts. It's a lot of points gone when you bail like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect your MMR, though, so... Some people think it's okay. In this case, Scott decided for the betterment of his team and probably his knight that he would just bail here.
I can understand that mental state. But let's assume bailing is not the option. let's try and answer that question by saying that's off the table now, Kyle.
Right. Because really, I mean, it's too many points to lose.
Yeah.
So what would you actually do in this scenario when someone has clearly thrown the draft for a complete loop? And it's a scary one because they got Zeratul and, you know, let's Tassadar Chromie. That doesn't exactly cause me to relax.
I would consider, again, this is a really tough position. I would consider that, but I would consider it if I was playing with you or someone I trust on Tassadar. Someone I trust to adapt to a really weird situation and take talents and build their hero in a certain way that you normally wouldn't. That you're not going to go on HOTS, LOGS, autopilot.
Well, Chromie is not a bad hero. And for those that I know who play Chromie well, I'm fine with you first picking because they delete like nobody's business. But this is a silver one, as Scott put it in his email, Chromie, which is not going to inspire much in confidence. And we should be drafting for the map first on every single one. We should be banning, drafting for the map first, and then we make the team comp with our final three picks.
Yeah. But I'm in the camp, Kyle. My answer would be embrace the crazy. Just go full. Yeah. Just take it and run with it. You'll have a better time.
And what is that silver Zeratul going to do? I think the chances of the silver Zeratul throwing as hard as the Chromie throws are pretty darn high, particularly if we get ourselves a couple of random area effect abilities, mm-hmm. You know, people who have Burning Rage even, someone who can take it early like Diablo's Fire Stomp, just make them play Raiden, that old, you know, the jet game where you had to dodge all the little ships and stuff. Slam it out and have them deal with it. Maybe we don't need Tassadar in that case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we can talk about this specific thing, this specific draft, but answer overall, I mean, again, we get into a world where there are a lot of variables, but you can have those games. You can have those games where you're just like, screw it, we're just going high damage. Do we need a tank? Not really. Let's just stack on the damage to try and make up for this bizarre thing that just happened. So that when the Zeratul shows up, it might even work for this. You could just go high damage and delete the Zeratul when he does show up. You could try and play it safe and take a Tassadar and try and reveal him.
I think the worst thing you could do is play safe, honestly, because the Chromie may not perform. So we just need to do exactly what the Chromie's embracing, which is we are going to have every fight be 5e4, because Chromie's going to delete somebody as the fight breaks out at a very high range.
Mm-hmm.
If she can't do that, she'll be darn well trying. And maybe we can do some things that'll encourage that. Let's not Dahaka. Let's not have our stuns push people out of the way of things. Let's maybe avoid ETC. Or at least, if you're ETC and you're smart and you apply yourself in many different situations, avoid using Face Melt too reliably when you're around Chromie, because you don't want to mess up her aim.
Right.
So a nice team that really benefits from stationary targets, maybe is a little more beefy in the front, maybe double tank. That's the way we're going to do it. Single support. And then we'll probably need some auto attacks just to do the cleanup, something like even Lunara behind that. I mean, now this is actually sound like a pretty decent comp, regardless of what the team on the enemy side does. And remember, they're silver too. If we flip this and we say, I was in a game yesterday and they first picked Chromie, and our guy first picked Zeratul. Oh, and we all go, oh, we feel for you, man. First pick Zeratul. That's no good. See my point?
Yes. Yes, I do. So basically what you're saying is build around the weirdness, but don't build around it too much.
It's not an excuse.
Yeah.
As it often comes down to.
Be flexible. I mean, that seems like a bizarre kind of cop-out catch-all that we could put across most answers we give on the show, right? Because whether we're talking about draft or whether we're talking about a bad engage or, you know, bad positioning on a certain map, it's just, or a bad player, so just adapt to the situation the best that you can, to the best of your ability.
Yeah, and if everyone's down about it, you can be the cheerleader. And that's a whole another bag of beans, but if you want to get into that sort of thing, you may, as that ETC that we brought up, run around with Chromie. And when she gets her first kill, say, nice job. Nice job, Chromie, even. Type out the Chromie. So people far across the map go, oh, thank goodness. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm more and more I'm of this belief that the one of the greatest feelings in this game is winning. Winning games with compositions that you shouldn't, winning games that you thought were doomed from the start. And it can happen. It absolutely can. Just because you have Chromie on your team and Zeratul's on the other team does not mean you are guaranteed to lose.
And well, look at the pro games from this weekend. I could make some big opinions about which team was going to win there based on their draft.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So our final email comes from Cheesy Bob, who's also in the chat room, sharing some very reassuring war stories. Talking about all these weird games that he came out on top that he shouldn't have. So anyway, Cheesy Bob wrote in and says, As I was watching the NA Fall Regionals, I was very impressed with the play from Team Gundam's game. There were many games where they were behind for the majority of the game, but were able to pull it out in the end. I think that playing from behind, it would make a good discussion topic. I think that playing from behind would make a good discussion topic. When you are behind, it can feel hopeless, but obviously it is possible to come back. What tips do you have to accomplish this?
So we talked about this a little bit already, or at least the philosophy we're going to lead with here, which is that noticing which team is actually going to win the charge in the middle, that's going to last the whole game. One of those teams, though, might be more powerful behind a wall. If you're getting completely wrecked on the field, I take a lot of comfort that I still have Jaina Kael'thas, because when they come to our wall, we're going to have quite the force to put up the defense.
Yeah.
Now, if we're thinking about scenarios that you don't want to get into, chokes.
Yes.
Are a pretty obvious one. Avoid pits. Avoid bosses. Avoid mercenary camps. Anything that makes a little circle, anything that makes a hallway, it is going to go horrible regardless of how powerful your team's abilities may be in those chokes.
Yeah, well, I think the better thing to say is don't venture into them. Maybe use them to your advantage. Make them come to you through it, especially you have abilities like Sunder, like Ring of Frost, that excel in those tight quarters, but maybe don't go into it, actually step into it yourself. And again, it depends on your opposing team.
One of the things that I'm still struggling to figure out, because it's a specialist thing, and I've been playing so much tank for so long, but I really do feel like a lot of the other roles, assassin, tank, support, you can be very robotic. You can insert your own creativity, but every scenario is probably going to play out in a similar light, and you have a strategy that you have learned through your experience that you're going to use in just about every scenario. But with specialists, there's so much ebb and flow to it, and knowing when to push, when to join the team fight, when to be soloing that lane, how deep you can actually go, and a little bit that comes down to minimap awareness. But something that specialists can do and specialists recognize that we all need to recognize together is don't react to something that's on the field. Make something happen on the field. If you want to defend top, five people are pushing top. That stinks. You're watching that fort go. There's siege giants on it. Oh, what a pile. We're never going to get in there. Great. We're never going to get in there. These two level down guys, we should all maybe go push two lanes. We should maybe go get some mercenary camps and let that top fall. It's a tough thing to do. It's so easy to get stuck being reactionary. Think of Cursed Hollow. Oh, my goodness. Boss after boss keeps coming at you, and you defend this boss. Oh, defend that boss. No, the curse. Okay, everyone man the lanes. We need to defend. Okay, now we need someone so-and-so to stay in the base the whole time now because we're dealing with catapults, and we're never going to get out of this base, and you just feel locked down for the entire game. That is slightly our fault as that team, because we were way too reactionary for far too long, and we should have made something happen.
Yeah, this is a breakthrough I've recently had with my Jaina play. Been playing more Jaina recently because, hey, she's good again. Yay. Which is being extremely offensive with my Ring of Frosts. I used to always use it defensively. I used to always wait until a significant amount of damage was done to the opposing team. And now I realize that I can kind of force an engage when I see a good, like, hey, we should be engaging right now. So drop the Ring of Frost, get two or three of them stuck in there. Cool. Doesn't matter if the Ring of Frost didn't kill them. Or, you know, even the other thing that I've started doing is using it when my Blizzard is still on cooldown. I used to never do that. But the more and more I lead with it, I'm starting to trust my teammates a little more, because even if my Blizzard is on cooldown, I can't necessarily get the kill myself. I'm noticing that graphic happens, you know, my team sees someone get stuck in that they capitalize on it.
Same thing happens with Tyrael's Sanctification. So they're not all clutch, totally sweet, all the orbs and the flame strikes are under your feet and you're just dodging a world of hurt. No. But much like we talked about before with Divine Palm, the fact that you broke up that fight for that 3-second moment gave you the win in that fight. Nothing else happened. It's just everyone kind of farted around on the enemy team for a little bit while everyone else was gung-ho, saw the gold on the side of their screen. They went, go, 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 go. And you ended up winning a fight that you should not have won three levels behind. And that does play a little bit into those telegraphed abilities we talked about, making sure everyone knows what you want to do and getting that pick off. Here's a big scenario that happens all the time. ETC wants to land a sweet mosh. You can see it in his eyes. He's continually doing that little trying to get power slide range, but he can't. No matter what he does, he cannot get a mosh out on this group because that is way too much CC. And so they end up giving up, or they end up trying to get a 5-man mosh, which they're never going to get. They get a 3-man mosh, but two guys come in and ruin the darn thing. What should have actually happened in that behind scenario is staggering. It's so powerful. ETC should have used his mosh pit on one person. It's a bummer. It feels bad. But it's actually amazing because now you've started staggering them. Now the fight, while three levels down, is now a 5v4. And you use that mosh pit again. And again, on just one person. Doesn't always have to be the same person, though. You'll drive them nuts and it might work out for you. But that's going to cause you to have a win when in a scenario where you would have never landed a mosh pit anyway.
Right, you have to claw back in. It's little victories. You're going to eventually, if you can snag one person after one person, catch up in that XP game. And also in this, like, is that unspoken thing. Don't die yourself. Make sure no one on your own team is dying. Get one kill and give them nothing. You don't need five kills. Just give one.
But take from them everything.
Exactly. Give them nothing, take from them everything. Thank you, Leonidas.
Smart words.
Indeed. Nice beard. So, any closing thoughts, Kyle, overall?
Overall?
I've enjoyed this episode in general.
Yeah, it's an interesting balancing act because, you know, we're giving what some might say with a capital T, the advice, but to gear it down for bronze, where the herding cats are happening, how do you get those guys to perform a strategy and make a comeback? And sometimes it's as simple as just typing, I know it's boring, if you're the tank. You're like, I know you want to fight. I know fighting's cool. But we win if we do X. So everyone stay cool, man. It's going to be all right.
Just
cheerleading.
Just,
very powerful.
Yeah, just come with me on this journey. We talked a lot about our personal play habits and our listeners' personal play habits today. The beginning of the show intermingled with all of the news this week and obviously these strategies. It's been fun. It's been a good time. Thank
yeah,
you for coming.
I've had a lot of fun too. I mean, I'm grinding more than I... Well, grinding makes it sound sort of negative, but it has been hard work. Whereas, you know, when you first get a game, it's this honeymoon period. You're spending all your time together. And, you know, it's washing you by. It's going mad. And this has been hard work. But it's been an absolute delight.
Yeah, it has. So thank you, everyone, for your emails. Really appreciate all of these coming in. You give us so many good topics to talk about. And we get to sit here and do our variable dance. It's like, oh, definitely this, except when these other two things are going on. But
welcome to real time.
Yes, we love having that talk. So anyway, before we get out of here, we got to thank our patrons over at patreon.com/ITN for supporting the show. If you like the podcast, if you're digging what we're doing and you haven't checked it out, but you want to support the show, that's the best way to do so. So head on over to, as I smack my mic like a total amateur, head on over to patreon.com/ITN and tell me to stop smacking my mic. This episode, we wanted to thank Chad Z, Sensei, Eric S, Errolis. That does not flow off my tongue, but I'm trying. Andy, Chewy R, Dominic A, Timothy O, and Trevalin. Thank you all for supporting the show and testing my ability to pronounce names like a functioning human being. Very much appreciate it. Also, thanks to those of you who are leaving us reviews in the iTunes store. If you're listening to this podcast on the audio download, we love those iTunes reviews. They help the show a lot. They help us get new listeners. We had too many good ones this week. I have to read an excerpt from all of them. Arcavia gave us a 5-star review and said that we are positive without pandering, which I thought was very flattering. Millie79 gave us a 5-star review and said, said that they have a newborn baby named Jaina. So huge congrats to Millie.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is totally awesome. And then T-Waz gave us a 5-star review and said that we rock as hard as a 5-man mosh, which we just spent the last 10 minutes talking about how you probably shouldn't wait to get one of those. So thank
when
you,
you're
T-Waz.
When you're behind,
exactly.
I have seen
I would argue when you're ahead, a 2-person mosh is totally fine.
it might be a little ambitious in most cases.
Yeah, but anyways, thank you everyone for the super kind reviews this week, and again, super massive congratulations to our listener Millie, who has a brand new baby Jaina. That's adorable. So thank you as always, guys. Into the Nexus is produced by amove.tv and our Patreon producers, Declan H. and Cheesy Bob, who we heard from at the end of the show. You can get coffee mugs and glasses with the ITN logo over at etched.amove.tv. That is made by listener John, hand-etched by him. They're great. Go check them out. You can also catch us live every Thursday night right here on amove.tv at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Our mobile stream is brought to you by alphageekradio.com. You can get us there on any really functional mobile device. Follow us on Twitter at ITNcast. And big thanks to Gorath and Brian Griffith for our intro and outro music. Those guys are awesome. Kyle, where can folks find you when you're not doing this?
You can find me at kyleferguson.com. That's where I perform coaching lessons for Heroes of the Storm. You can also check out the wide variety of bonus streams. There's going to be all weekend. There's going to be one Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, starting usually around 4 p.m. Pacific as we make this grind happen. And everything's on track. We're going for that Masters. So I'm pretty excited to rejoin him. We've both been practicing so much. And it's been good so far. Fingers crossed, right?
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Good luck, man. Just if I have to read one more super positive tweet about you and Gorath on your freaking honeymoon of winning awesome, I'm going to vomit in my mouth. So
how about this? I'll give you a gift. Oh. I'll give this whole community a gift if we make the Masters. So you have to get platinum in order to get the normal version of the mount in the system.
Correct.
That's kind of bogus.
I believe it is.
when if you do your 10 placement matches for Team League, you automatically get that version of the mount.
Yep.
So, if Gorath and I can finish our quest to Masters before the weekend of the 19th, that 20th Saturday, I will host a party. I will host a party for 8 hours on a stream while we get everyone we can through Team League placements. Gonna have to do 10 games, a little bit of wiggle room in between. So, cheer for us, because if we get done early, we will make that happen, and everyone can log in, and we'll just have people everywhere. Everyone's looking for Team League, and we'll just have a blast doing it. I suggest you guys do it without us if we can't. But, so that weekend, the 20th of August, that'll be the prize.
That'll be the party weekend, the Heroes party.
Yeah. League party.
I will be at a Fireside Gathering all weekend, so I will not able to join.
We don't need you.
So, that is unfortunate. Although I may have a laptop by then. You know what? I'll be playing from the Fireside. Wait,
don't do that, man. You got an event host. You're like, excuse me, I need to get 10 games done here.
No, I only have a quote-unquote job on Friday, so Saturday and Sunday I can screw around with the fabulous internet at the venue.
Okay. Well, that's my gift to y'all if we make Masters.
Nice.
If I don't need that time to grind out further.
Well, fantastic.
I hope I can avoid that weekend, man. I'm expecting that to be just awful. Particularly in like Diamond One. Can you imagine?
Well, you know what? With as wonderful as it's been for you, I don't feel bad for you if it is. And if it is, great. Awesome. Good for you, sir. I'm happy for you. Good luck to you and Gorath. May your first child be a manly child.
For your masculine child.
You can follow me on Twitter, folks, at Garrett Art. You can find my graphic design portfolio over at nomoonart.com. And you can hear me talking Hearthstone on the Angry Chicken. You can hear me talking Overwatch on Overwatchers and plenty of other stuff at emove.tv. Also, just because we aren't running ads at the top of the show anymore doesn't mean we still don't have codes to give all to you nice, fine folks. You can use the code ITN over at doghousesystems.com. You will get an awesome gaming rig, but you will also get a free solid-state drive added onto that said gaming rig on top of the normal hard drive that comes with the system. You can also use ITN over at tweakedaudio.com to get 30% off and free shipping off your entire order of noise-reducing earbuds or headphones from Tweaked Audio. We thank them for their support. We thank you all for listening. And until next week, good luck and have fun.
Take care.